Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
So welcome back to our series on self-compassion. Today we're going to talk about mindfulness, which is one of the three pillars of gentle self-compassion. When you guys think about mindfulness, I know we talk about it a lot as therapists. What is the first thing that comes up that you want to say about mindfulness in the realm of self-compassion?
What I want to first say is that practicing mindfulness as like a coping skill, we're using the term mindfulness in the lens of self-compassion. So we're not going to go into this whole idea of mindfulness exercises type thing. We want you to go look at the episodes about that. So when it comes to being mindful about self-compassion, we're taking the same principle of being in the moment, not trying to think of what I've done, what I'm going to do, thinking about what I am doing right now or what I am being right now. And that's practicing self-compassion we joke about judgment-free zone, and really it's just about like, we don't need the whole history of someone for them to practice self-compassion in the moment. Is that kind of what you're going with, Jen?
Yeah, for sure. I think that aspect of this is not about clearing your brain necessarily, as it is about observing how I'm talking to myself, how I'm treating myself, how...
It's not creating a void.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, again, as a coping skill, sometimes I like to use mindfulness to push things away and kind of give myself space, where mindfulness and self-compassion has a lot more to do with that observation experience, mm-hmm. and saying what's going on, like Haley said, right now.
The way mindfulness was first taught to me, this concept of mindfulness, one of my favorite professors shared a story about monks going, or acolytes rather, going for their final, as it were, and they're heading to the head monk, and on their way they're reviewing all the things that they've learned, trying to remember it all so they can sit down and pass the test. They walk in and they sit down, and the head monk asks them what kind of flowers were sitting outside on their way in, and they had no idea, because they were so absorbed on trying to remember all this information. And so they didn't pass the test, and they had to wait another year to take it again. Mm-hmm. And so it's just this idea of mindfulness is just being in the moment, like you both said, instead of being so absorbed in thinking about the future or thinking about the past. And can we just be in the moment, even when we're on our way to an important event?
And so when we're thinking about it in terms of self-compassion, applying to what Taylor said as looking in on the person, right? We're not thinking about everything I have done. We're not thinking about everything I want to do. We're thinking about what am I currently doing? What's the type of person I am? And I guess like the question I have with that too is like, why isn't it ignoring my past? Like, isn't that a bad thing? Right? Wouldn't that's the first thing I get from people usually when I'm like, hey, be mindful in the moment. And they're like, but isn't it ignoring all the things that are important? Isn't that a bad thing? And I'm like, that's a great question, right? So what do you guys feel about that? With being mindful, you kind of have to do that.
You can mindfully turn towards the past. Mm-hmm. You open up that past work. Sometimes that includes trauma work if someone has trauma. And then you mindfully close that and come back to the present. And looking towards the future can be done mindfully. You can plan and then close and follow that plan as you go about the day without only thinking about, okay, I'm on my way to get the oil changed. I have to remember to ask the mechanic about this. Mm-hmm. And not be so absorbed in that you run a red light. when you walk through a forest, you can see a tree that's not growing very straight. You can look at it and say, wow, I can see where, you know, maybe it didn't get enough water one year, or maybe it didn't get enough sunlight. I forget who said this quote, and I'm butchering the quote, but you know, we have compassion towards trees and other plant life, and animals. And when we mindfully think about those trees and animals' lives, we can do the same about ourselves. But we don't do it that way about ourselves of, yeah, you know, that was a really hard year. And instead, it's like, gosh, I'm such an idiot. Why didn't I do better this year? Or I'm such a failure.
I think to link what both of you are saying, the thought that comes to mind is when we ask people, how are you doing? Right? So the mindless answer that a lot of people are, I'm doing fine. Right? Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I get a lot is people will tell me, like, they'll give me a log of what's been happening or what needs to happen. Like Taylor was talking about, I need to get my oil changed. And, you know, here's what's going on with, you know, my significant other or my children or my work colleagues. Like, we're very much kind of grounding ourselves in what is going on externally versus internally. Where if I stop and I say right now, how am I doing right now? Like, I could say, okay, I've got some tension in my shoulders and my back. Maybe that comes from, you know, I don't know, the long car ride I had or sleep that I had, like, just that curiosity of what's actually going on. I could be aware of what's my temperature like. Do I feel cold or warm? Am I comfortable? And as I do that, a lot of times people will start to, as I give them permission to kind of check in with their five senses and what's going on in their body, especially they'll start to like shift. Have you guys ever seen that in therapy when you're like, okay, let's get mindful. And the first thing they do is like, oh, wait, I forgot I was in this body and I forgot I had a range of motion. And so I think that internal scan, that body scan can be a really good way to be mindful. And noticing any positive or negative sensations in the body. Again, because mindfulness is not necessarily meant to be just looking for the negative, but there might also be, you know, as I'm thinking right now about how I'm doing, I'm thinking, gosh, I have some some happiness because my daughter left a note on my chair this morning. So when I, you know, so that brought me some joy. And I thought, oh, that was interesting that I don't always notice that joy when I'm in that stress. Things like that are examples of how we move out of, you know, just where am I in the space of my calendar or schedule and into where am I in as a person in this body, in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
There are a couple of questions I ask my clients at the beginning of every session, and about 10% of my clients get really anxious in the beginning of therapy with me about these questions. And it's just simply, hey, how have you been since we saw each other last? And they'll say good or bad or, you know, something like that. And I'll just follow up, okay, what went well or, you know, what didn't go so well? And for the people that get a little anxious about this question, once they get used to that, I'll ask the follow-up every single time, is it simply to help people become a little more mindful of the week? People want to come into therapy and get a good grade, even though therapy isn't graded. A lot of people feel like everything in life has a value assigned to it or like a, you know, a grade.
It's a transaction.
Right. Everything's transactional. Thank you, Jen. And I simply ask the follow-up because first and foremost, I really care and I would like to know what went well and what didn't go well. And secondly, because I want people to get in the habit of thinking more mindfully throughout the week about how things are going for them and being in the moment. And the more you're in the moment, the more your memory encodes and stays. And so they come in and they just go blank, like, oh, I don't know what went well. I don't know what went poorly. Like, you know, that's okay. We're not in a rush. Take your time. And it's just interesting as people learn self-compassion and mindfulness that when it's new, it's just very hard.
And I think, again, I want to tie back in, Haley, what you said is people say, well, isn't it wrong somehow to be in the moment? And either because one of them is I'm ignoring things, but the other one is it a poor me? Am I feeling bad for myself? Am I creating a victim stance? If I say my shoulders are tense and those kinds of things, that is not a victim stance phrase. If I say, well, I can't work today because my shoulder, like if I start to put action or judgment or plan to it, that's a completely different thing. But if I'm just saying to be in the moment and be aware, it's about gathering information. It's not about judging the information too. And so I think that can be really important, you know, as Taylor, as you're talking about the grade of, can you identify what's happened this week, whether you give it a positive or negative? Just can you identify your response to it? One more thing I think we want to do with mindfulness before we switch to self-kindness is that mindfulness is also that idea of, we talked a little bit about the non-judgment, but about learning kind of patterns and those kinds of things with self-compassion. When we give ourselves permission to be aware of what's going on, it gives us more data to say, okay, I actually noticed that I feel a lot more calm and comfortable around these people, or I felt a lot more relaxed when I let myself have a good night's sleep, or when I slowed down and I ate something that, you know, was both yummy and nutritious. And so mindfulness is, again, it's not about the clearing of the board and just go blank. It's about gathering information and then using that information to say, how can I treat myself well? And I'll use the example.
I think that kind of goes into motivation, which we'll talk about later too. Like, you're talking about what's going to motivate me to do those things to be mindful, right?
Right. But you can't know what's going to motivate you unless you're aware of what's going on around you. Right?
Yeah. And so, yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. And we'll talk more about that motivation aspect in one of the later episodes too, which I think is really good that you're mentioning, like, how those two really do connect well with each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like the idea of what can I do for you might be something that people ask. If we're not really aware of what helps us, we can't even answer that for ourselves. So if I'm having what feels like maybe some difficulty, or I'm starting to feel like my body is overwhelmed or overstimulated, if I don't understand what calms me down, then I'm going to have a really hard time even trying to act on any self-compassion. So if you're like, I don't know how to be compassionate with myself, mindfulness is a really good place to say, I just need to pay attention to who I am. Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We would love to hear from you.